Welcome to Wanderlust Friday Forum.
Gosh, I didn't know anybody was interested in the Affordable Care Act. So my main purpose is to introduce Monica Lindeen, the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, and I'll do that in just a minute. But some of you may not know about Friday Forum. We operate the second Friday of each month during kind of the academic year, the school year. And I got a couple of announcements with regard to that. One is that we've operated here at Pilgrim Church for many years and really appreciate the space. It is the case that starting in January, so starting next year, we're going to meet down at the Bozeman Public Library. And it's maybe a little bit more accessible for people, and there's a good meeting room space down there. So that'll be starting the first of the year in January. Next month in December, we're going to have John and Mark Judula from MSU, and they're talking about norovirus. But then in January, we'll be down at the library. That'll be our first event down there, and Maddie Pope from the Trust for Public Land is going to talk about what's going on in connection with the Story Mill redevelopment stuff that's in process down there. So I'm here to introduce Monica, and Monica, as I said, is the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, and that's I think formally why you're connected with what's going on here. She was first elected to that office in 2008. She was reelected in 2012. Prior to that, she was a lawmaker from Yellowstone County, from the Billings area. She was first elected in 1998. She was term limited out in 2006, according to our rules that we have here in Montana. Monica grew up in Billings and actually overlapping with her first terms in the legislature, she owned and ran one of the first ISPs in Montana. Some of you may still have does anybody here have an email address that is still mcn.net? So thank you very much for coming.
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me here today, and thanks for coming out. Is this on?
Now it is. Yep. Okay, I want to make sure, but can everyone hear? All right. I really appreciate the opportunity to come back to Bozeman for any reason whatsoever, and I'll be back in a couple weeks for a big football game as well. it's really great to be here, and I do have a couple of staff members with me. Jennifer McKee, who's in the back of the room, is my communications director. And then over here in the front of the room is Christina Goh, who's my general counsel. And literally, you all need to know that she is not only an expert at the state level when it comes to healthcare policy, and in particular the Affordable Care Act, but she's also an expert and considered to be an expert nationally. And so we're very, very lucky to have her here in Montana. And she's going to assist me when we get to the Q&A portion of the presentation. As you know, we've been doing these presentations all across Montana since about a week before open enrollment began. And we've had standing room only in just about every single one of these events. Obviously, there's a little interest, which I think is great that folks are turning out to actually learn more about it. Because I think that obviously it has been slightly confusing for a lot of folks. And now's the time to figure it out. What I'm going to do is walk you through a quick presentation. Well, I don't know if it's quick. It takes me about 30 to 35 minutes if I go quickly. And then what we'll do is talk about kind of the basics, talk about fraud that's related to the new law, and then talk about how it relates to Medicare. And then we're going to give you some information about other resources that are important for everyone to have. And then we'll do our Q&A. And seriously, that's what I like doing the most. That's what Christina really enjoys, too. So we're going to go ahead and get started. As you know, as was mentioned, I'm the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance for the state of Montana. It's also known as the state auditor. I try to stay away from that title, even though it is constitutional, because nobody knows what the state auditor does. And so, in fact, you'll probably see on the ballot this next year, there's going to be a constitutional amendment to actually officially change this, the name of this office. And anyway, you'll be able to make up your mind on that. Our purpose is to obviously regulate those two industries here in the state. And some folks don't really realize what a big deal that is. It's we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars that come to the state when it comes to these two industries. And we have one of the smallest agencies in Montana state government that actually oversees these two industries. We only have about 85 people in our entire office. And we are not funded through the general fund, but also we are funded through fees that we collect from industry. Just for information, we want to make sure that we're establishing a level playing field while at the same time we're protecting consumers here in the state of Montana. And we also provide a lot of outreach through educational programs like this. Okay, how about the history? Obviously, the law was signed. The law was signed in March of 2010 and then was upheld by the Supreme Court in June of 2012. And many people say, well, what's the insurance commissioner have to do with all this? Well, every single insurance commissioner across the country, and believe me, there's one in every state, including our territories, our organization, a national organization, which is called the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, worked very hard during the entire debate at the federal level when they were working on this particular piece of legislation to make sure that Congress understood what it was that we did at the state level in regulating the health insurance industry. We have had, for over 150 years in this country, a state-based system of regulation for insurance. And we think we do an incredible job. And we have a lot of proof to show that we've done an incredible job over the course of that time. And we wanted to make sure that people understood what it was we did, how effective we are, because we wanted to maintain that state-based regulatory authority. Well, we did such a good job that we, as a national organization, the NAIC, are specifically named in the legislation, or the bill, I'll call it now, something like 26, 27 times. And so the NAIC has had specific legal responsibilities since the law has passed. A lot of it has to do with coming up with certain specific recommendations as an organization, which we then send up to the Secretary at HHS. At that point in time, she can, Secretary Sebelius, take our recommendations and throw them out the window. She could modify them or she can accept them as we send them to her. Fortunately, Secretary Sebelius is a former insurance commissioner from Kansas, and she understood just how well we do our jobs. And so to date, she has accepted every one of our recommendations 100%. And we think that's a good thing. So we think that we have played an effective role in that manner through our national organization. But at the state level, every one of the insurance commissioners has obviously had a role as well because we do regulate the industry. And so we can talk more about how that's worked. But as the regulator, we have a responsibility to work through a lot of these issues. Some of the insurance market reforms that went into effect right after the law was passed, we'll talk about. But some of the most notable changes are going to go into effect come January 1 of this coming year. One of the major purposes of the law was to make sure that we were reducing the number of uninsured Americans. Here in Montana, we estimated that we had about 195,000 Montanans who are without insurance. And as you may have heard, the new marketplaces or exchanges actually were open for business to begin enrollment on October 1st. And that open enrollment lasts for about 6 months, and we'll talk more about that. So what does Obamacare do? It, in general, puts new requirements on health insurance companies to eliminate some of the abuses that were occurring for consumers over the years. It puts some new requirements on citizens to actually have health insurance coverage. This is probably one of the issues that probably upsets people more than anything. They don't like to be told what to do. Nobody does. No, I certainly don't. You can ask my husband. But anyway, it also relies on private insurance companies to sell insurance to those who are currently uninsured. And as you know, in the before this law was passed, there's been no guaranteed issue, meaning that if you had some type of pre-existing condition, obviously the insurance company could say, I'm not going to give you insurance because of that, or if I do give it to you, it's going to be much more expensive. I'm going to rate your coverage based on that pre-existing condition. Now they're saying that nobody can be denied insurance. It also finds a way to help folks pay for that insurance. Not everyone, but some folks. And it created incentives for states to actually expand their Medicaid programs, which we'll talk about in a minute. So some of the immediate market reforms that went into effect in 2010 include things like no cost for preventive and wellness care any longer, making sure that children who are under the age of 19 would not be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And there are no longer any lifetime limits on insurance benefits, and no annual limits for essential health benefits either. Insurance companies can also no longer cancel policies except in the case of this very legal, for this very legal reason, which is for in cases of fraud or intentional misrepresentation of material fact, which we'll let the attorneys in the room talk about. It also extended coverage for adult dependents up to the age of 26. Now, for Montana, that meant only one additional year, because we already had age 25 in our law here in Montana. But for some other states, it meant 3 and 4 years additional coverage. So the 2014 market reforms that are going to go into effect here very soon means that, first of all, as I've already mentioned, no longer can insurance companies refuse anyone, no matter what their age is, for pre-existing conditions. There will be guaranteed issue for all of us. They will not be able to actually rate based on that, any pre-existing conditions. They'll only be able to actually rate and to do additional rating based on whether or not you have used tobacco products or based on your age. Unfortunately, as we all know, the older we get, we tend to have more medical issues. And if you are using tobacco, you might decide that maybe this is the time to quit. It's not always easy, but it can be done. I know. Been there, done that. It also takes and creates single risk pools inside of the new marketplace. Instead of having a number of risk pools, you have a single risk pool for the individual market, which means you're spreading the risk across one pool, which should help keep those rates a little more stable. And that also is the same then for the small group market as well. There would be one risk pool. And then, of course, there's the employer responsibility, which means that, and that's for employers or small business, not small businesses, but businesses with 50 or more employees. They will be required to actually have insurance for their employees. Now, if you are an employer with less than 50 employees, you will not be required to have coverage. And for Montanans and their small businesses, that's the majority of them. But we also know that the government actually has given a year extension for that particular requirement. So they'll have another year before they actually have to comply. There are also, for all these new policies that are offered within the new marketplace, all of insurance policies will have to cover and include what are called the 10 essential health benefits. And this includes a number of benefits like making sure that maternity and newborn services are covered, that hospitalization and surgery, prescription drugs, doctor's visits, office visits, things like that are actually covered. Montana law, for Montana, we were actually really fortunate that the majority, I think just about every single one of these essential health benefits was already included in our state law as mandated coverage, which meant that there wasn't a lot of new mandates for Montana coverage, which meant that we didn't see a big increase as a result of these essential health benefits. Now, there were other states that didn't have the kind of mandate laws that we did, and so they have seen more of an increase as a result. One of the other changes is what's called the MLR, or medical loss ratio. Basically, what it said was that for every dollar that you spend on premium, that 80% of that premium is going to be spent back for your benefit, whether it be on claims or some type of quality improvement activity by the insurance company. And that then the other 20% is allowed for administrative expenses and things of that nature. This is actually one of the things that the NEIC, that we actually got to kind of make a decision about. We got to decide what went on what side of the equation. As you can imagine, the insurance companies wanted a lot of things on the 20% side. it was interesting, to say the least. So what happens if they don't meet that 80%? Whatever the difference is, they actually then rebate back to you or refund back to the policyholder. So that's a benefit for you. So who's not affected by the new law? Let's just say, okay, if you are 65 and older and you're under Medicaid, let's not even say that. If you have Medicaid coverage, you are not affected. If you have Medicare, VA healthcare, TRICARE, CHIP for children, not affected. You are considered to have coverage. And so you don't need to worry about any kind of changes in what coverage you have currently. So let's talk about this new marketplace. Remember that the existing marketplace that we've all been dealing with for all these years, that will still continue. You will have the old marketplace and the new marketplace. And the way I like to say the big difference is that the new marketplace is where you'll be able to take advantage of the tax credits, the federal tax credits that are going to be available on a sliding scale for folks, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But it also gives consumers the ability to actually compare the private insurance products that are available there on an apples-to-apples basis. There's two markets in the new market. There's the individual, and then there's the shop, which is actually for the small businesses. And it's only really available for small businesses, as I said, with less than 50 employees. We have three insurers here in Montana that are actually participating in the new market. These are not federal insurance plans. These are private insurance companies offering their products just like they do in the old market. We have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Pacific Source, and the newly created Montana Health Co-op. We also have some of the benefits for consumers. As I think I just previously mentioned, you have some premium tax credits and some other discounts that are available only in the new marketplace. And then, of course, there's tax credits available in the shop for some small businesses. And our Montana marketplace, as many of you probably know, was built by the federal government, and they started selling policies in that new marketplace on October 1st. And we'll talk more about how that's gone. A little rough. The point is, they actually have an extended enrollment period in this first year. They are extending enrollment through the end of March 31st. But if you are purchasing in the marketplace and want to have your plan effective on January 1, you need to make sure that you've actually purchased that plan by December 15th of this year, in order to have that, to not have a gap in coverage. And for folks who are currently on like MCHA, the Montana Comprehensive Health Association plans, or the MAC plan, which is the federal temporary high-risk pool, this is really important for these folks because they have pre-existing conditions and they don't want to have that gap in coverage. So companies, very important also to know that even for those companies who are selling plans in the new marketplace, they still are regulated by my office, just like the plans outside of the new marketplace. And that was very important to our office that we were able to continue to do that. And one of the reasons why we're able to do that is because the last legislature, and I really want to say thank you to Republicans and Democrats who helped push this through and voted for it, giving my office for the first time in Montana history the ability to actually review health insurance rates, premium increases. We've never had that ability in this office. In other words, every time your insurance company raised your rates, and if you called my office and you wanted to know why the heck, We couldn't tell you because they never filed those rates with my office. Now they do. We have 60 days to review the data that they file with the office with these rates, and we look at that to see that they're actually following state and federal law. And if we find any issues, we can go back to the company and say, you know what, we have problems. And I got to tell you, it's working. Right now, I can tell you that we've had at least 3 or 4 different instances where we've gone back to the companies and we've said, this is unreasonable, here's why, and you need to fix it. And we have had rates decreases already of 6%, 12%, and one of 66%.
Wow.
Yeah, it was huge. So thank you to the Montana legislature. The other thing we wanted to do was make sure, excuse me, as I said, in terms of actually regulating these plans, we wanted to make sure that we continued to be the responsible entity for actually reviewing all the forms for these products as well. And so we have worked very diligently with the federal government to make sure that even though we are a federally facilitated state and they're building this new marketplace, that we can continue to do the review of all these forms. And the reason why we were really insistent upon this was that we didn't want there to be dual review, because we're going to continue to review anyway because of state law. But if they're reviewing too on top of our review, that means the insurance companies are paying more money for the reviews, which means that you're going to pay more money. Well, fortunately, we were able to put together kind of this, you know, partnership, and so they're allowing us to do all the review, and they're not doing any of it. So that, we think, has also helped save the consumers some money as well. So how much is it going to cost to actually purchase in this new marketplace? Obviously, it varies depending on the company and what tier level you buy your product in. Policies are sold as bronze, silver, gold, and what's called platinum. I think there's only one company that's selling platinum products, yeah, in the individual market. And the different levels are based on the medical costs paid by the plan versus how much you're going to pay out of pocket as a consumer. And if you look at the silver level, for instance, which is probably the more popular level for the majority of folks, you're looking at about 70% payment by the plan versus the 30% out of pocket. This is an example of what some of the range or average of prices would be. This is not in total. We just picked like 3 different age groups for the purpose of this slide. Let's say you're age 40. Wish I was there again. Oh, dang. And let's just say I, after looking around, decided, you know what, I like the silver level. Well, the range from the 3 companies that are offering products in that range or in that level for somebody at age 40 would be between $242 and $310, averaging about $267. Now, remember, that's before any type of tax credit. So what about these federal tax credits? So the tax credits for premiums in this individual market are provided on a sliding scale based on your household income between 400% and 100% of the federal poverty level. And so let me give you an example of what that means. Let's say you're a family of 4 and you have a household income that's about, let's say, $23,550 would be the 100% level. And then 400% of poverty level would be the $94,200. So if you fall in that level as a family of 4, you're going to qualify for some type of tax credit. So an individual, here's one more example. The 100% level would be $11,490, where the 400% is $45,960. And those tax credits are actually paid directly to the insurance company, not to the individual who's purchased the policy. And on top of that, for any individual who has between 250% and 100% of federal poverty level, you're also going to receive some assistance with some cost sharing, with co-pays and deductibles as well. This chart shows you more about the different federal poverty levels in terms of household size, and depending on whether you're at the 100 or 400%, what the income level would be there. If you have more than 8 people in your family, you just add another $4,020 for each individual in the family. This deals with household size and composition to kind of figure out your percentage of income that you're actually going to pay, expected to pay for premium versus what you are going to pay otherwise. Montana's median household income is a little over $45,000, which means that about 80% of Montanans who buy insurance in the marketplace should qualify for some type of credit or discount. So what if your employer already offers insurance, and let's say a member of your family who can get insurance through your employer wants to get insurance on the new marketplace? They can do that, but here's the thing that you need to remember, and this all has to do with a definition about what's considered affordable coverage, and I'll talk about that more in a second. That family member can purchase in that new marketplace. However, if the eligible employer-sponsored plan is considered affordable, then they cannot, they're not eligible for the tax credit. And that tax credit, what does it mean to have affordable coverage? Okay, look at this second bullet. This is what it means to have affordable coverage. If the eligible employer-sponsored plan is affordable, if the portion of the premium the employee must pay for self-only coverage does not exceed 9.5% of the modified adjusted gross income. Line 37 on your tax return. That is considered affordable, okay? You got that? No questions. All right, moving on. No, well, seriously, we can talk more about that in the Q&A. So, the individual mandate, the one thing we all love to talk about, the penalty for not having coverage as an individual is phased in over the course of 3 years. The first year, in 2014, if you choose not to have coverage, you would be fined $95. That's for the year, not per month, or 1% of the family income, whichever happens to be greater. And then in the second year, that goes up to $325, or 2% of the family income. And in the third year, it's $695, or 2.5%. So that's the phase-in of the individual mandate penalty. That's per year. So there are some exemptions to the mandate. Not everybody who does not get insurance will be susceptible to the penalty. For instance, if your health insurance, if you went to tried to purchase health insurance and you figured out after you looked at how much the employer contribution would be, how much tax credits would be, if that all turns out to be more than 8% of your income, you're exempt. You don't have to purchase coverage. If you have income, your family income is so low that you don't even make enough to actually file an income tax return, you're exempt. If you have religious reasons that you're opposed to accepting this kind of benefit for a health insurance policy, or if you're a member of a recognized health care sharing ministry, you are exempt. If you're an American Indian or Alaska Native, you're exempt. If you're incarcerated, you're exempt. Do not run out and get incarcerated, okay, in order to avoid this. Please. any help for the small businesses? So beginning in 2014, as I said, you've got this shop or small business market that you can purchase in. The help for those folks, those small businesses, is if they have less than 25 employees, they can be eligible for a tax credit. So those who are at 49 to 25, they are not eligible. Then we have what are called navigators and agents, who are there to assist in helping folks to get coverage through this new marketplace. Navigators operate only within the new marketplace, where insurance agents who have always been operating outside the original or old marketplace, they can sell, help you buy and purchase in the new marketplace as well, but they'll have to be trained for that purpose. Navigators can't get commissions like insurance agents do, and states cannot require that navigators be insurance agents, basically. We have three different navigator groups here in Montana who actually are contracted through the federal government with federal grants. That's the Montana Primary Care Association, Planned Parenthood, and the Rural Health Development Montana Health Network. And then there's also another group of assisters who didn't get grants, who are not paid by the marketplace or any type of grant. And these are called Certified Application Counselors, or CACs. And usually you're going to find these folks at community health centers and places like that. We have a dual oversight responsibility here in Montana. And once again, I really want to thank the Montana legislature for this. They passed a piece of legislation that allowed our agency to actually have that oversight over these navigators and CACs by saying that these folks have to get not only the federal training that they're going to get to sell in the new marketplace or to assist in the new marketplace, but they're going to have to get Montana-specific training as well, which they get through our office. And then they also have to have background checks, just like insurance agents have always done in Montana. And those background checks also include fingerprints. So we know who these folks are, so that we can keep a list of who these folks are. And in fact, if you go to our website, their names are right there, so you know who they are, because we think that's very important for fraud reasons. So I already talked about that. So that brings me to the fraud issue. Obviously, there's always going to be some folks out there, unfortunately, who are going to be incredibly creative and are going to try to figure out ways to take your very hard-earned money from you. And I've really found that to really be the case since I took this office. There are people out there who are utilizing this new law as a reason to come up with some new scams. We have folks out there calling up seniors saying that because of the new Obamacare law, you need a new Medicare card. And so let's do that right over the phone. Give me your, information, your Social Security number, what have you. We'll get it taken care of. Absolutely not true. You do not need a new Medicare card. It's not true. They have people creating fake websites that purport to be the new federal marketplace. I'm telling you right now, there was only one website. It's not working real well right now, but there's only one website that is the new marketplace, and that's healthcare.gov. If it is not healthcare.gov, it is not the new marketplace. And so what they're trying to do is just mine personal information from folks as well. We have, unfortunately, some folks who are calling up parents and saying, trying to sell them another policy for their young adult dependent. That's crazy. The law says that you can continue to keep your young adult dependent on your existing policy. You don't need a new policy. So those are the types of things that are going on out there, and we're trying to do everything we can to make sure that we know who the legitimate folks are, and we want to make sure you know who they are, and we're going to do our best to also make sure that, if we do find out there's somebody doing bad things, we'll put a stop to it. And if you hear, you call us, and we'll take care of it. As I said, Montana's marketplace can be found at www.healthcare.gov. Only the government can get domain names that have .gov. Nobody else can do that. All consumer complaints should be directed to this office. We are the designated consumer ombudsman for the state of Montana when it comes to health insurance consumers' issues. And our staff, I got to tell you, they can help you with all sorts of things. They've been doing this for a long time, and they are incredibly dedicated and knowledgeable when it comes to working on insurance issues and working for consumers to make sure that they're treated fairly. We also can assist consumers with appeals of health insurance decisions, and all kinds of eligibility appeals need to go through the marketplace. Discontinued plans. Some insurers have been making some business decisions just in the last couple of weeks, where they're actually stopping or canceling certain plans that have been offered in the past. We consider that a withdrawal of an existing product, not really a cancellation, because this happens a lot in the insurance industry. And then what they've been doing then is recommending another policy which is close to what you did have as your option. Unfortunately, in many cases, it sounds like, from what we're hearing, that policy that's being recommended is actually more expensive than what you did have, because it's including a lot of those essential health benefits or some other types of things that weren't there before. But what we want people to understand is that that's not the only option for you. You can also look at what other companies are offering and look at what's being offered in the new marketplace as well. I think many folks might find that if they're eligible for any kind of tax credit, it might actually be cheaper. So just know that if you are getting that kind of a letter, there are other options, and you need to do your research to figure out what those options are and make sure you consider all those options. Medicaid expansion. As I said, all the states were incentivized to actually expand Medicaid because we wanted to make sure that those between 47 and 138% of the federal poverty level were also being covered. Montana's legislature made the decision not to expand Medicaid. And I just think it's important for folks to know that as a result, you're going to have about 50,000 Montanans who are going to continue to be uninsured here in the state. They would have been eligible under expansion, but they're not going to have insurance as a result. And they're unlikely not going to be able to afford to purchase insurance in the new marketplace because they're not going to qualify for any tax credits, because the new law does not allow for folks in this bracket to qualify, because they assumed that states would actually expand Medicaid. And the problem with that is that these folks are going to continue to utilize our emergency rooms as their primary care provider. And as a result, there's going to be a lot of charity care, millions of dollars of charity care that's going to continue to be written off. And, of course, the rest of us are going to pick up the cost. So, for instance, if you look at the folks who are actually without coverage, it's the folks like at 100%, just below 100% of poverty level. You know, you're looking at like about people who make around $19,500 a year. And that's with family of three, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a family of three. And so these truly are the working poor here in Montana that are going to continue to be without coverage. And so it's going to be an issue, but I'm sure we'll figure out a way to deal with it, I hope. As I said, they're going to continue to utilize those emergency rooms. And based on some independent research that we had done by the University of Montana prior to the last legislative session, this research showed that there could have been, with the acceptance of Medicaid, a direct economic benefit to Montana as well of about $6.1 billion over 8 years and a creation of about 12,700 pretty good paying jobs. There might be a ballot initiative in 2014. I don't know for sure yet. Haven't seen anything, but I've heard rumors. So these folks can still get some free care through some community health centers and free clinics, and those resources are right there. And this whole presentation is actually on our website if you need any of the information. And as I said, just one more time, if you have Medicare, you are considered covered, and you meet the coverage mandates are satisfied, so you don't need to do anything different. And also, if you are somebody who actually purchases MedSup or Medicare supplement plans, you'll continue to purchase those in the way you always have. You do not purchase those in the new marketplace. So some ways to enroll in the marketplace if you are actually attempting to get onto the new federal marketplace and you're having trouble with the website: you can also get a list of some trained assisters from our CSI website, which is at MontanaHealthAnswers.com. And you can go to one of these trained assisters and work with them. They've been having some success, I understand, and actually, it's, in some cases, it's taking a couple hours once you sit down with them and go through the whole process and getting through it. We also understand that you can download an application from healthcare.gov, a paper application, and fill it out and send it in kind of the old-fashioned way. I'm not sure how long it takes to actually process that paper application, but that's what we're being told. And then also there's an 800 number where federally trained employees can assist you to actually enroll that way as well. The site, obviously, has not gone well. The rollout of the new site did not go well, and it's taking some time for them to fix whatever IT issues are occurring. I frankly have been incredibly upset about it and frustrated because it seemed to me that, especially someone with a little bit of an IT background, that this should have never happened. But unfortunately it did, and so, we need to hope that they get it handled sooner rather than later, as I said, because my bigger concern is about making sure that those folks who have pre-existing conditions don't have that gap in coverage, because that's a big deal. I was in D.C., was that last week? Last week on NEIC business, and actually had an opportunity to meet with some folks from HHS and kind of expressed my frustrations and the lack of information that we were getting from the feds on this whole issue as far as what was really the problem and what they were doing to fix it. And while they still weren't very forthcoming with a lot of details, they continued to insist that it's going to be fixed by the end of the month and that things are getting better day by day. So I've had some people say that it is getting better. I've had others say it isn't. So time will tell. Here are the other resources that we have available. Our office created MontanaHealthAnswers.com, and it really has been created for folks who have never purchased insurance before. As you know, insurance is complicated and not always easy to understand, and so it really gives people some basic information about health insurance, and it's written in a way that hopefully is easily understood. And we also have this Ask Away feature where you can email us with your specific question and then we'll respond to that question. Is again the Federal Marketplace website, healthcare.gov, the 800 number, and then folks who are small business owners, they can get more information from the Small Business Administration as well.